it was very humbling even to say that, because I know it's only by the goodness and the grace of God that we've been able to see the things come to pass that we have seen. And it's a little emotional to think about having a home and then relocating your home. Because I know with the relocation, everything that we're familiar with and everything that we're used to, it becomes a little frightening. I'll go ahead and say it. Because we're all going to run into things that we haven't seen before. And I asked a group of my leaders, I asked them, I said, which of you have had the experience of being part of leading a small church into a mega destiny? And no one could answer that question or that statement. Because a lot of times we don't come with experience in how to flow with the Spirit of God as God gives us increase. But typically what happens to people, they have a tendency to start to melt down and melt away. And while they're melting down, we have to be very careful as a people and not to melt down with them. Fear has a tendency, nervousness, and a spirit of worry has a tendency to overwhelm us, because all of us here, including myself, we have a little bit of fear of the unknown. Maybe you're not afraid of the boogeyman. Maybe you're not afraid of certain things. But there's one thing I found out, is that we all have lurking inside of us the fear of the unknown. The Lord brought me to a crossroad a few years back, and I realized that I had to make a decision as to whether or not I was going to stay right where I was and keep doing exactly what I was doing, or say to the Lord, Lord, I trust you no matter what. Lord, I believe you. I have faith in you. And he started sharing with me how important it is when you've been gifted and blessed of the Lord. He started revealing unto me, and here's the scripture or the phrase that came forth. He says, to whom much is given, much is required. And he said, man of God, I have blessed you with much. I've given you much strength. He said, I have an expectation of you to go and do whatsoever I command you to do. Regardless of whether it's popular, regardless of whether I'm the only one in the land, being steadfast in what I know God's told me and what he's given me. And when you now have to be that one that God will command you not to blend in, but he'll command you to stand out. And I believe that a lot of you, you're part of this mission, and what God is doing in this season, he is getting you ready to be outstanding in your walk with him. And when you're outstanding, you're going to stand out. The ones that blend in, they don't get picked on that much. But I've come to this resolve in my life that because God is with me and because God and the anointing is upon my life, I realize that I am going to expose some things that a lot of vessels will not expose. If there's a snake within you, it's going to be revealed. If the seed of God is inside of you and you are craving to get fed the word of God, you're going to get blessed. Your very soul will start to crave what God's releasing in this ministry. Young lady blessed my heart today, and her thing was, she said, you know, I got to come where I feel it. And that little small statement stirred up my spirit. She said, I got to come where I feel it. And I knew exactly what the it was. Quite frequently, the Spirit of God just brushes by this place to give you the very thing you've been praying for. Our assignment today is to take a look at a few verses from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, those who have a Bible or have the ability to look up the verses, do so. If you just want to follow on the overhead, it is ready to go and in place. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to look at the first 9 verses of that chapter. I'm reading from the King James Version. If you're there, can you say amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says, now. Can you say now?
Now.
Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Can you say now?
Now.
Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and some of this people.
All.
A few of the people.
All.
Yeah, the Bible says all of this people. See, and the reason why that's important, people are not even going to realize what is going to be in the midst of them if they get left behind. Stay with me. He says, all of this people unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So in other words, God's saying, I'm marking out a new territory for you. Okay? He says, I'm marking out a territory for you. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong. Touch your neighbor and say, be strong.
Be strong.
And be of a good courage. Oh.
Yes. Yes.
For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. Lord, he has an inheritance for us. Which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong. Touch another neighbor and say, be strong.
Be strong.
Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. See, every now and then folk will try to say that you're trying to be religious because you want to do what God's telling you to do. And they'll say that we're under grace now. It's not important to obey the commandments. Yes, we fall short in our desire to obey the commandment, but that don't tell us that we need to just stop trying to get it right. No, that devil is a lie. And there's a spirit out there that'll say, if you have an expectation, oh, good God, if you have an expectation that we're supposed to be obedient. Paul kind of says it like this. He said, shall I continue to sin so that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. And we have things happening in our land where we're now calling right what God deems wrong. And then we say that he loves us and he's going to love us no matter what. Well, yes, that is correct. But I found out about his blessing and who he chooses to bless. Stay with me. Verse 7 again. I gotta hit it. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. No, we're not being religious. We're just being obedient. No, we're not trying to put burdens on people. We're just trying to make God happy. He loves me. He saved me. He took me just as I am, but his word and the power of the word cleans me up from who I was so that I can really be in hot pursuit of big and better things with my God. He says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. He says, here's the reason why. He said, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Prosperity comes and prosperity sticks with us when we keep God's word close at hand. People fall off the bandwagon when God's word is not a priority to them anymore. Stay with me. Verse 8. This book, not any old kind of book. I'm talking about a complete book. Not a watered down book. Not a Fruit Loop book. But this book, I'm talking about a complete book. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Say it. Can somebody say, I want good success? Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I hear the joy bells just ringing in somebody's soul today. They are so glad that they were in the house of the Lord. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Lord, we humbly submit ourselves to your will today. Thank you for all the wonderful moments in this little old white building. Lord, I'm going to miss it. But Lord, I also want to thank you for the new building that you put before us. For Lord, I know you're up to something that's so great. And Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, you be with your people today as they hear your word. Let them receive what you have for them. Bless their lives. Move mountains for them today. Have your way, oh God. And we'll be careful to bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. You all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This message in getting you all encouraged and getting you all inspired for the new season that God has for us, we want to call this message Strong and Courageous. We want to call it Strong and Courageous. What's the title of the sermon?
Strong and Courageous.
Yeah. Strong and Courageous. Went to watch a movie last week, and the characters in there believe that they are stronger together. And they had it to where their motto is, eight together strong. Eight together strong. And they would kind of have it to where they were convinced that they would be strong if they stuck together. Now, I'm going to borrow from their motto, and I'm going to say, Christians together strong. Yeah. Yeah, Christians together strong. I believe that. Reason why I believe that, because when I did not have strength in my body, the very element of coming and seeing some of your faces, it helped bring strength into my natural body. Christians together strong. Matter of fact, a lot of times when you find yourself struggling, it's during those moments when you've gotten away from being connected. Christians together are strong. What we have in our hands, we now have an opportunity as we get ready to go to a new place that we can put the stamp of the Lord, his seal, on a region that doesn't have worship like we have worship. I'm going to say this, that don't have diversity like we have diversity. Boy, I'm excited about what we have. But Joshua has this huge undertaking, and he's now going into a new land, and he's taking a group of people who have come from the wilderness, or first of all, come from Egypt, and then had spent great time in the wilderness going through some stuff. And it's very difficult when you get called as a leader to take a group of people over on the other side that all they know is Egyptian bondage and wilderness suffering. And now my assignment will be to preach a word inside of your heart that'll make you believe beyond your Egyptian bondage and make you trust God so much so that your faith is greater than your wilderness suffering. My life application notes that I pulled, let me just read them real quick, and then I want to get down to my points for today. It says Joshua's new job consisted of leading more than 2 million people into a strange new land and conquering it. What a challenge, even for a man of Joshua's caliber. Every new job is a challenge. Without God, it can be, what do you see? It can be frightening. With God, it can be a great adventure. Just as God was with Joshua, he is with us as we face our new challenges. It continues to say, we may not conquer nations, but every day we face tough situations, difficult people. I'm going to say that one again. Difficult people. I'm going to say that one more time for the Holy Ghost. Difficult people. Okay? And temptations. Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you a difficult person? Amen, Pastor Wade. Every now and then, we just have to go ahead and draw the conclusion that they're just difficult. This is difficult, sophisticated, extra, extra, read all about it. They just extra. Amen, passed away. Some of them are even extraterrestrial. They just have stuff where it makes it very difficult to have safe encounters with them, okay? So we're going to face some very tough situations, difficult people, and they're going to be temptations. But here's the thing. God promises, however, that he will never abandon us or fail to help us. By asking God to direct us, we can conquer many of life's challenges. Now, our thing we're going to be doing a lot of as we read more often, we're a Trinity Christian Church, we are the body of Christ, we help people become whole in Christ. So our motto is going to be, as we say that, we're going to be reminded that what we do as a church is to equip you to overcome tough situations. It's to empower you to deal with difficult people. If the Word of God didn't give us answers on how to deal with all of those theatrical people that you're in contact with, then the Word of God would be insufficient. But we know our God to be an all-sufficient God. And he blessed us in the fact that he left a word that has all of life's answers to all of life's problems. Every situation that you're going to go through, the Bible has an answer for it. That's why you got to be very careful getting hold of Bibles that have diluted the word, that the whole content or meaning is totally different. Okay? But God is looking for a group of people who are willing to be strong and courageous. Simply put. Now, the unique part about this story, out of all the ones that came out of Egypt and all the ones that roamed 40 years in the wilderness, it was only two that was of a certain age that God thought was fit for his use to go in and teach the young people. All the rest of them, they stayed stuck. They were out of Egypt, but their mind and their behavior was still like Egypt. And God even saw those ones in the wilderness that as he was getting ready to send them to the promised land, they had become the wilderness. When you see people biting and devouring, you see people coming at one another, you see people complaining, you see people coming opposite of what the Spirit of God calls for our life to possess, that is symbolic that they haven't let go all of Egypt. That is symbolic that they still are focused on their wilderness journey. And God told his children, he said, you have gone around this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. It's time for us to go up north. It's time for us to go up north. It's time for us to go up north. It's time for us to move on up. It's time for us to move up. You cannot stay where you are and still have a double portion of peace that God promised you. You have to move up. You have to go forward. A lot of the things that we find ourselves toiling with is yesterday's devils that God said you should have conquered them by now and be ready for today's devils. I can't be focused on the devils that were coming after me 10 years ago. I should have already gotten a victory over that 10 years ago. Because he's taken me to a greater place. Five things I want to give to you. And these are called qualities to maintain the new blessing. I started releasing this type of message a couple years back. I kind of came again last year and released this kind of message again about God getting ready to bless somebody. And I'm going to tell you something. He still hadn't forgotten about somebody. Somebody said, well, Pastor Wade, Lord hadn't blessed me yet. I'm just telling you right now, you just need to stay tuned and be patient and hold on a little while longer because I see God coming through for you. I see God working your situation out for your good. I see God working your situation out for your good. I see God working your situation out for your good. It might not taste good, but he's working it out for your good. I see God working your situation out for your good. It might not feel good, but he's making it work for your good. I see God working your situation out to be for your good. It might not sound good, it might not feel good, but I believe in the name of the Lord, and I believe that he is making it work for your good. Can somebody say, make it good, Lord? Just as Joseph got to a point in his life, he realized that everything that he had gone through with his brothers betraying him, with going into Potiphar's house, with everything that he had to go through, he went from the pit to the palace and found himself in prison. Everything that he went through, he turned around at the end of his life and he said, it was intended to harm me, but I know now that it's going to work for my good. It made you cry a lot of tears, but God said it is working out for your good. You spend a lot of nights alone crying, but God said it is going to work for your good. Can somebody say, make it good, Lord? Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. And the Lord's going to work some things out for your good. 3-4 years ago, my life felt like a living hell. Didn't feel good, didn't taste good, it didn't even sound good. But thank God that I had enough sense to stay put. Don't move. Thank God I had enough sense to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Thank God that I knew that my labor was not in vain. Make it good, Lord. Make it good, Lord. You still crying on how bad they hurt you, not even realizing God's going to work that thing out for your good. That you'll be able to trust him. That you'll be able to believe him. That you'll be able to say with your own mouth, now I know that my Redeemer lives. Now I know that he's able to pick my feet up out of the miry clay. Now I know that he's able. Now I know. Back then I didn't know. But you have to go through what you have to go through that you may know that he's an awesome God. That's okay. I preach to the 40. I don't need crowd participation to preach. Spirit of the Lord moved me and he touched my body. But I believe that he's getting ready to do something in somebody's life. And the crazy part about it, Sister Tony, I'm more excited about their blessing than they're excited about their own blessing. Can somebody say, make it good, Lord? I can't hear you. Say, make it good, Lord. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Taylor, Michigan, they don't know what's getting ready to hit them. Boy, I haven't felt this anointing like this. Y'all gonna see in a minute. Watch this. Verse 1 gives us our first point. Verses 1 and 2, I'm going to give you 5 points, and I want to pray because we got some work to do. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses is what? Minister. Moses is what?
Minister.
Minister means servant. Saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Here's the first quality that you got to have when you want to get and maintain new blessings from God. Here's what you have to have. Number one, you have to have submission. Can y'all say submission? I've lost about 33 of you. Because, truth be told, the main thing you struggle with is submission. Submission is nothing more than yielding. It's nothing more than trusting. It's nothing more than saying, okay, I'm at this point and I understand that somebody somewhere knows a little more than me. Somebody somewhere has some things to pour into me. There are people right now sitting in the audience. They still have the mindset that I can't wait to get grown because can't nobody tell me nothing anymore because I had to listen to mom and daddy my whole life. And you done got grown but then got dumb because you think that because you get a certain age that you don't need to be taught anything else. No, you're going to always have to yield to something. You got to yield to the speed limit. You got to yield to the stop sign. I know it's red, not yellow. Yellow is yield means slow down. You got to yield to what's posted. You got to yield to the requirements of what they want you to pay at McDonald's. You got to yield to something all the time. We yield to our employers. They make a schedule for us that you need to be here this time. And then we go and we do that, most of us anyway. You're expected to yield. That's expected of you. God gets no glory out of ones that'll be a rebel without a true cause. You're just going to simply say no just because you just want to say no. No, you're not being viewed as a yes man. My thing is, as I was put in a position to have to submit, I just like being in good graces with my God. Some of us, we want God to bless us while we don't listen to authority. What are you talking about, Pastor Wade? I wrote it down. I said, get under authority. Get under somebody's leadership. Whether it's at work, whether it's at church, get up under somebody. It is so safe to be under somebody, especially if they seem to possess a little more qualities than you have. Especially if it could be to where something that God put in them, God gonna transfer a little bit of what they got into you. Okay, all right. Matter of fact, if you go back a little bit, you'll figure out, put the next little box up there. It says, the Lord spake unto Joshua. Here's my belief. He spoke unto Joshua because Joshua was in place. The times that I can't hear God speaking to me, it lets me know when I can't hear him and I can't feel his spirit like I'm supposed to feel it. It lets me know that I'm out of order somewhere. That's just me. Maybe y'all don't have that problem, but when I feel like my God is so distant from me, it could be that I'm not in my place I need to be. Some of us, we think that God is going to speak to us while we don't listen to our employer. God sees that as you taking his name in vain and taking his name to shame. Are y'all still with me? The Bible says, the Lord spake unto Joshua, Moses' minister, Moses' servant. But why did Joshua have to do anything for Moses? Yeah, see, some of y'all crazy folk will be like, well, Joshua, he's exalting Moses. No, he's not exalting Moses. He just appreciates the anointing. He appreciates that God has talked to somebody. And some of our crazy tales, we'll be mad because God's speaking to them and not him or her. And we'll spike the anointing because we can't yield to the anointed. Joshua served Moses. Joshua served Moses. And in this day and age, we have gotten it twisted. Here's the reason why it's twisted. Our kids don't want to serve us. Okay. Because we set them up that they have an expectation that everything is theirs. No, when they get a certain age, this is just common, plain common sense. They get a certain age and they calling you so they can go buy toothpaste. But they're not going to counsel with you when they want to have that activity in the back seat of your car. Oh, y'all don't want to have church with me? This is how ridiculous we have become. We breed rebellion, and then we come and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for my child. Well, what's going on with them? Okay, well, let me say this. I'm going to pray for them, but let me instruct you. But here's Joshua's mindset. Come on, Jeff, you be Moses. You be Joshua. Go ahead and walk, Moses. Joshua, you follow him. Moses, I like you about to stumble to the left and watch Joshua try to catch him. Now watch this. Turn around, Moses, and walk this way. And Joshua, as he's walking, you notice his shoestring is untied. And you know, he might step on his shoestring and trip and fall. And he pauses for a minute. Then what you gonna do, Joshua? Boy, I'll never forget this. And every, here, throughout this mess, I may pull some stuff from memories in this building. I'll never forget this. One day after service, somebody told me in the back of the church, said, I feel it's wrong that you had so-and-so tie your shoe for you. I said, sweetie, why was that wrong? I said, well, it may seem like that you're making yourself superior. No, not at all. You don't even know me if you think like that. And you know the deal, because when Pastor Wade preaching, I'm not going to stay like in one spot. Amen. I just thought it was an act of love that I didn't notice my shoe was untied, and one of God's servants thought, okay, I don't want the pastor to trip over his own string, so I'm going to help tie his shoe. But some folk have a very twisted mindset,
and they'll go in the wrong direction, not even realizing I'm trying to keep my point. I'm trying to hear the Spirit of God. I'm trying to pay attention to you and make sure my shoe don't come undone.
You good. That shoe is tied. Come on and get the Lord a hand clap of praise.
But the thing that Joshua had to have, Joshua had to, first of all, be submitted to God. Okay? He had to be submitted to God. Because God, he requires all of us to be yielded unto him. A lot of us are things we get ourselves in trouble with when we don't want to listen to God. Then what ends up happening, the devil will come, and then we'll try to resist the devil without God's authority. James 4:7, watch, it's very simple. Flip the slide, please. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. A lot of people don't read that part. They don't quote that part. They usually quote this last part of this verse. They'll say, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, how you going to do that on your own strength? That's what I want to know. How you going to be able to beat an angelic being and you're a human being? How you going to be able to beat someone that's not in a human form and you are human? How you going to do it? That's what I want to know. So the thing that James figured out, he figured out as he was trying to get Christians to maturity, he figured out that they were trying to resist Satan while they neglect resisting submitting to God.
Okay, you don't believe me, do you?
The only way Jesus has success with Satan was through his submission to the Heavenly Father. A lot of us want the Word to work for us while we neglect what the Word is telling us to do. Stay with me, Pastor Wade. Pastor Wade, don't go nowhere. Your mind about to go. Pastor Wade, stay with me. And then we sure enough gonna struggle. When we're not submitted to God, we sure enough gonna struggle listening to our boss, listening to our parents. Listening to the pastor. Now I'm gonna tell you something. A spirit of Belial can rise up in your heart. And you'll actually start discrediting something God is blessing. Spirit of Belial is like a real nasty spirit. If you teach about submission or actually use the word submission, they look at that as a swear word. Not even look at it as a word of protection. There's protection in that. I'm telling you right now. He that dwelleth in a secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to be under God's protection. I make that declaration. I say it to anybody. I'm not ashamed to say it. I want God to be able to protect me because I know he can. And in order to get it to where I can call on his protection, I stay right up under his wing. And I stay deep into his word. But then for Joshua, he says, I've put you under Moses. And I want you to be a blessing to Moses. Now, you got a society nowadays, they don't even really like calling the pastor anymore. Different sermon. Hebrews says it like this. Obey them that have the rule over you and do what?
Submit yourselves.
Huh?
Submit yourselves.
For they watch for your souls. Not only do they watch for your souls, they must give an account. They have to give the account to God as to your dealings, your walking, and your being. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. A lot of Christians just want to delete that out of the Bible, but what I found out, a lot of ministries can't be God's army
because they have no order. Matter of fact, if battle really broke out, who's going to command the troops? They don't believe that there should be nobody in charge. Who's going to command the army? Who's second and third in command? Our theory in church, we're getting a whole bunch of people saved, but we're not equipping them to fight. And we're not teaching them the strategies of warfare that only can be released unto soldiers. A lot of ones have said, you know, I feel like you do a lot of pushing, and I don't know if I really, really want to be a part of that. I say, no problem. God bless you. I still love you anyhow. But he told me that we're supposed to raise an army up. Now, if your bloodline has never been hit with anything, if your loved ones have never had to go through anything from Satan, then you may not have passion like me to want to do something about it. But because I've watched one generation after another of the Wade bloodline get hit like there's no tomorrow, and the Lord woke me up and said, what you gonna do about it, man of God? I said, Lord, tell me what I must do, and I want to stop this madness. And there's somebody else here. You too have been called to be a Christian soldier. You're sick and tired of seeing one family member after another go out, and we're letting them go out without a fight. And they go out without a fight because they don't know how to fight. And the Lord wants us to yield. Yeah, we teach warfare here. Yeah, we'll actually say Satan in church. Ministry, I was dialoguing with, they said, no, we just feel that you just shouldn't say devil because you're going to invite him in. I'm like, well, wait a minute here. Well, you got a whole lot of people in your group saying it under their breath because Satan show when they lap. No, that's crazy. He's going to come. That's what he's supposed to do. But the question is, do you want to be ready when he comes to mess with you? Flip the slide, please. I want to keep moving. Second point comes from this verse. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your what?
Oath.
Shall be your what?
Oath.
Lord says, I'm marking a new boundary for you. And when God marks a new boundary for you, see, some of the folk that's been grieving you, they ain't gonna be able to step across your boundary and then not get dealt with by God. Are y'all still with me? God says, I'm marking a boundary for you. Joshua, here's your boundary. Here's what's going to happen. Now, watch this. Look at my second point. I want y'all to stay with me. Second quality that you need to have, go ahead, is you have to be teachable. Can you say teachable?
Teachable.
Can you say teachable?
Teachable.
Now, it's difficult to be teachable if you're not submitted to the Lord. It's difficult to be teachable if you're not yielded to the vision and the mission of the house. Simply put, a lot of us struggle being in a civilized house because we're used to a chaotic environment. We're used to seeing relatives fight at family reunion. We're used to seeing relatives, you go up to try to visit them, but the police sitting in front of their house because they tried to half kill each other. And a lot of us, we don't feel that it's normal until the church is acting like that. And I'm not going to fight with none of you. Amen, Pastor Wade. And watch this. You shouldn't fight with one another. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm not going to fight you. Look at somebody else and say, neighbor, I'm not going to argue with you. But basically what God was telling Joshua as he was telling him, look, you're going to go somewhere, and everywhere your feet set,
That's going to be the new territory that I'm marking for you. So in other words, Joshua, you got to understand that where you're going, you got to have a teachable spirit, because you're not going to know how to function in your new land.
Okay. All right. You don't believe me.
You can't take Egyptian behavior and bring it into Canaan. You can't take your struggle, your wilderness, those times when you were thirsting, those times that you were hungry, you thought you weren't going to make it. You can't take that into a promised land scenario. You can't do it. Watch this. Go ahead, Mariah. Can you receive something new? Can you receive something new? Can you receive something new? The new church is not going to be able to flow like this one. You're not going to be able to just tack stuff up on the wall and kind of do things that we did here without going through certain protocols. Deacon Tom, we had to establish a set room that's just for the building director to be able to keep up with everything that's going to go on in that building. I received the invoices from the units on the roof, and I looked at it, was like six of them you sent me. You forwarded me six certificates or payments for certificates for each unit that's on top of the roof. There are certain areas. No children can absolutely go back there. But I'm going to tell you, it'll be somebody offended because their little kid going to run back there. The reason why they're going to run back there, because when they're at home, they get to run on top of the tables. They get to break dance all over, and then they're going to run back in that back room, and Deacon Tom's going to say, "Hey, you can't be back there." And then they're going to go crying to their mom and say, "He yelled at me." And then mama going to be mad at Deacon Tom and say, "I'm leaving the church because you offended my child, and I'm not ever coming back here." Well, there's some places they can't run. I want to get my groceries from Kroger, click and pull. I'm going to order it online. Let me just drive to the side of the curb and bring it out there, because I don't even want to go in there anymore, because some of the scenes we see, that people don't have a teachable spirit, because can't nobody tell me nothing about my child. Can you receive something new? Flip the slide, Mariah. Whether you believe it or not, there are many things that you do not know. I wish I had a witness on that. Man, I'm going to tell you, the Lord has humbled me. And what I thought I knew, I didn't know it like I should have known it. And the Lord made it so that no matter how high we go and no matter how much we get blessed, we all always have to stay teachable. Can somebody say, "I am teachable"?
I am teachable.
Psalms 27:11 says it like this: "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Yes, when you're going up higher, more people are going to see you. There are blessings that's going to come into your life before this year ends. Teach me. Teach me, O Lord. You got to be taught some things. You have to be taught some things. Joshua, you're going in, and what I'm going to give you, the Hittites thought that it belonged to them, but I'm taking it and I'm giving it to you. Where you're going, everybody's not going to like you getting blessed. You got to stay teachable. Lord, teach me how to fight against those Hittites. Lord, matter of fact, teach me how to fight against all the ites. But the Bible throws some ites on you in a minute. Teach me your way, Lord. And he'll tell a lot of us, your struggle is that you're acting like them. That's why you can't defeat them. Okay.
Psalms 144, verse 1, and we'll get to our third point. Psalms 144 is just a bonus for you all today. It says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, with teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to what?
Fight.
A lot of situations where I feel a lot of the Christian churches aren't teaching Christian warfare. And I'm the bad guy now because I sometimes think that church has to be above sometimes just fun. Okay, all right. Because every now and then you're going to wake up and you're going to realize there's some devils around. And the psalmist kind of said, Lord, I need you to teach me, teach my hands how to warfare. Teach my fingers how to cast some things away from me. Jesus himself sat at the table and was teaching the disciples warfare. I'm sure it wasn't enjoyable when he says, and somebody is the devil. And the thing that blows my mind is that it didn't move Judas. Because if the Lord was to say to me, you got a devil in you, that'll hurt my feelings. Okay, wouldn't hurt y'all's. Okay, all right. It'll just break me. I'm like, oh, what? And he showed the disciples. Yeah, I know we all go to church. He says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. If that ain't warfare, I want y'all to tell me what it is. He was telling the enemy, yeah, I know it wasn't really you talking. And nowadays you can't tell your loved one to get thee behind me, Satan, and live. But you may have to be able to go in your closet and say, Lord, I know that's the work of the enemy. They my loved one, but it's the enemy's work today. And Lord, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that when I go back out there and I get done with this bathroom visit, Lord, I command that spirit to get far away from us. In Jesus' name. That was a simple teaching that I'm granting unto you, that when you realize you're dealing with something and that person that you know that's normally acting okay, all of a sudden they're acting like a barracuda, you go in the bathroom or go wherever you have to go and you use your weapons of warfare. Prayer is a weapon of warfare. You speaking stuff with your mouth is a weapon of warfare. Can somebody say, teach me, Lord?
Teach me, Lord.
Number three comes from verses 5. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, my goodness. Y'all ought to like this word, this quality here. I say it all the time. Can y'all say confidence? Can you say confidence?
Confidence.
Yeah. Boy, boy. That thing right there, if you keep it, it'll bless you and it'll bless you good. It'll bless you. Just keep your confidence. You keep your confidence. In other words, we have to pass the faith test. We have to pass the faith test. God always puts your faith to the test. Always. Not your spouse's faith, not your parents' faith. He puts your faith to the test to see whether you're going to have faith in what he's told you and what you know you believe about him, or whether you're going to say, well, I don't believe the Lord going to get me through this. You have to keep your confidence. Hebrews 10:35 says it like this. Cast not away therefore your what?
Confidence.
Cast not away therefore your what?
Confidence.
Say it again.
Confidence.
Say it one more time.
Confidence.
Confidence. Which have great recompense of reward. It has a great repayment. When I say confident that God's going to get me through it no matter what, there's a great payment or a great reward that he puts in my belly. Yes. When I see moments where the Lord is trying to get me to increase in my confidence, I command that moment to come and have communion with me. I'll look at it and I'll say, get in my belly. I just got movies that just don't get out of my head. Y'all got to pray for me. And they just come up at weird times. And, you know, and I know he was saying he wants his baby back ribs. But I want my confidence. For real. And when I see my confidence trying to run, I'll say, get back here in my belly. I command you not to leave me, because if my confidence leaves me, doubt's going to set in on me. And I'm confident that God has blessed me, and I'm confident that he's going to be with me. Can somebody say I'm confident?
I'm confident.
Are you confident?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Are you confident?
Yes.
Are you confident?
Yes.
Are you dry and secure?
Yes.
Huh? Amen, Pastor Wade. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you're what?
Sure.
If you're sure. Say,
I'm sure, Lord.
Yeah. Don't cast away your confidence. I know you see sweat under my armpit, but don't get it twisted. I'm sweating because I'm fighting devils, but deep down in my belly, I'm confident that God's going to get me through this, because if he brought me to it, he's going to bring me through it. Boy, I worship. I wave my hand in a minute. Because I'm sure the Lord going to bless me. I wave my hands in worship because I know it helps keep my confidence. In the moments that your praise is not where it's supposed to be, he'll make you have a moment of waving those hands and raising those hands. So you stay confident, dry and secure. Yeah. Flip the slide, please. I want to close. I want to get out of this thing. Okay, never mind. I got to say that. y'all see that little box that popped up?
Yeah.
On three, I want you to read it, okay? One, two, three. No. Joshua was a bad man, but he was a humble man. But it was certain things that would make him draw his sword. And he was sure when it was times of war, he was confident that any time the enemy would come, Joshua knew it's going down for real. He knew, and you got to know. You're not being arrogant if you say, you know what, I don't want to go any further with this drama. Oh, are you better than, no, it ain't that I'm better, it's just that, man, the last seven times we went down this road, it took me 6 months to get back to normal. Amen, Pastor Wade. My God. You got to be confident of when you see a situation. Oh, I know exactly how this is going to end up. Oh, no, I want no part of this. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying I'm better than you, and you're not saying you're better than them when you kind of say, hey, you know what? No, I don't think I'm going to do this right now. Let's call time out. Let's take two scriptures and talk about it in the morning. Amen, passed away. Oh, y'all don't want to have church with me. I'm telling you. Because some of us are doing some foolish stuff. And we're not confident that God's word can settle us down. And when you done talk for 2 hours and you ain't got nowhere. Somebody got to say, hey, you know, it's time out. Time out. My head hurting. My back aching. Back ache, pants too tight. Body moves from left to the right. All memories coming up from there. We're about to leave this church, and it's like, I hear stuff from all over in my head. Flip the slide, please. Hopefully I can get to the four. God knows. Man, that's a good one. Man, that's a good one right there, ain't it? About keeping your confidence. Right? How many of you think that's a good scripture in order to keep your confidence in the Lord? Yes, Romans 8:31. Now watch this. It says, I'll ask the question, and then y'all take it home from there, okay? There's a question in this verse 31. When you see the question mark, all right, and everything after the question mark, first question mark, you go ahead and read, okay? All right? What shall we then say to these things? Let's do it again. What shall we then say to these things? Now come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If God has voted for you, if God said he likes you, if God says he's pleased with you, you got to be confident that God is for you. And if God be for you, who can what? Be against you. Say, Lord, I'm not afraid of them. Yeah, that's confidence right there. Do what you want to my body. Do what you want to my mind. But my spirit belongs to the Lord. And I'm confident that he's voted for me. I'm confident in that he's voted for me. And I won't change for you if I know he likes me. Flip the slide. I got to get out of here. Oh, God. Oh. Man, I didn't read these notes well. That's another phrase up there. I'm trying to get out of this point. What phrase do y'all see up there? Go ahead and read it.
You are not alone.
Say it again.
You are not alone.
One more time.
You are not alone.
You know why? You know what God says? I am here with you. God says, you're not alone. He said, I'm here with you. I like to go... just country on y'all. And here's how my mama would say it. And here's how I know my God would say it to me. He'll say, I got you. I'm gonna tell you something. You facing some stuff, you just gotta remember in your mind what God says. He said, I got you. Got you. That's all I need to know. Because, Lord, as long as you got me, the whole world can be against me. As long as you got me. Yeah. Flip that slide. I'm going to hope and pray it's the next verse, please, Lord. Can y'all tell me what's up there? Thank you. If you don't get anything else out of the message today, please get this part. okay? This is the best part. This is really what I believe is going to make the difference between the men and the boys, the girl from the woman. Joshua 1, verses 6 through 8 says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Here's the fourth quality, I think. Is that where we are? Is it number four? I think I'm going to give you four, and I'm going to have to owe y'all one. Is that all right? My IOU is good. Okay, I got good credit with the Lord, and I pray that y'all will let me have good credit with you, and I will owe you one in the name of Jesus. But number four was strength. You got to have strength. Can y'all say strength?
Strength.
Can y'all say strength?
Strength.
Now, I know some of my cousins, they say strength. Like, they spell like S-C-R. Say strength. But it's strength. All right? And it's a derivative of strong. Okay? Strong. Strong. And the only way we can really be strong and have true strength is relying on God's strength. And that's the question I have. Are you relying on God's strength? Okay? Are you relying on God's strength? Are you relying on God's strength? And the question will revolve around, when you start your car up, you have a starting system, okay? The starter and the battery. But then what ends up happening, the car stays powered up through an alternating power source called a generator or an alternator, okay? What happens to a lot of us, we allow our alternator or generator to stay faulty, which is the Spirit of God being in us, and we try to run on all brain power, all right? Valuable lesson I learned when I was a district manager with Goodyear. If a car runs on the battery all the time, if it runs on the battery, and some of y'all shaking your head because you already know what will happen. If it runs on the battery all the time, guess what happens? The battery will die out. Oh, my goodness. And what happens to us as Christians, and so if the battery dies out, and I remember a sermon, and I was looking at some pictures, and there was a picture of a battery we had sitting up there, and we had someone bring some cables that had some prongs on the end on both sides, and y'all call them what? Jumping cables, jumper cables, whatever. All right, what happens a lot of times, we run on battery all the time, and then everywhere we go into our jobs or homes, and we want someone to have jumping cables to help our mind get started again. Does that make sense? Because we rely on what others have inside of their head to keep our brain charged in our head. And what ends up happening, and I know some of you can relate, you keep jumping someone enough times, and then you'll find out something else about your battery. And you gotta get it to where people learn how to rely on that source or generator or the Holy Spirit to keep them going. I will fail you as a leader if I don't remind you that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That thing that you're focusing on is draining your battery in the world. You got a powerful God inside of you that can not only keep your battery charged, but can keep everything fully powered. I asked the mechanic, I said, so the generator or alternator not working right? That means my radio might not play right? He said, yes, sir. So in other words, worship won't even sound right to someone whose battery has run down. Worship will aggravate them. Because they're not allowing the Spirit to empower them. You got to have God's strength. You got to have it. Paul told the church this in Ephesus. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yeah. It won't even happen by my own power. There's nothing we've done except be obedient. But everything else that's come to pass in our journey, because God and his strength and his mighty hand, he did it. Who got you through your day? My God got me through it. Who was there for you to really help pick up you? You think it was those friends, but really, it was the Lord. He was the Lord. He was him. And you want him to be the source of your strength. You want him to be the one that'll be the centerpiece of your home. A lot of you, I see great things happening because you're now inviting God to finally be in the house with you. You're finally yielding your heart. Now you're feeling his Spirit like never before. Dreams and visions are going to start flowing. You're going to start to see God give you what you've always wanted. Yeah. Be strong and courageous. Because we're getting ready to go somewhere. And man, I'm going to tell you, we're going to have thousands upon thousands. And God's counting on you. Trust him for your strength. And we're going to have Operation Takeover. And I would enjoy you being a part of it. Because he's called you here. And he has an assignment for each and every person. Don't be dismayed. I know you've gone through some stuff. But I'm glad the Lord don't allow it to end with our failures and our mistakes. I'm glad the Lord allows us to get our fire back. You're a lot stronger than you give yourself credit for. You wouldn't really know God was with you, except you have to go through something that in your own strength, you can't deal with it. And it is your season. He's getting ready to bless you. 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 Truth be told, I failed a million times at a whole lot of things. But what I like more about my relationship with the Lord, I don't stay in that failed position. Because I said to him that failure is not an option. Even if I have to encourage myself in the Lord, because there may not be a brother or sister who comes to help you. Do you know how to wait on God for yourself? and let him do it. Let him do it. I see mountains getting ready to move because you're keeping the faith. And a few of you, I'm looking right in your eyes because I want you to know that God is a keeper of his promises. I want you to know that he has not brought you this far to fail you now. The praise reports are going to go through the roof. And we're going to need to stay together. Because Trinity, together, strong. Trinity, together, strong. Trinity, together, strong. Stand to your feet, everybody.